Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Irina Lagunina, Director of Special Projects at RFERL's Russian Service. Irina, thanks very much for joining me.
Thank you for inviting, Steve.
All right. Now, this week we're going to talk about Alexei Navalny again, and also another topic, one that involves Felix Dzerzhinsky and Alexander Nevsky, two very different figures from very different historical periods. Navalny first. Roughly 6 weeks after his return to Russia, Navalny has been sent to prison for a term of 2.5 years, about. This is the result of an alleged parole violation in a case that he contends was absurd. And the alleged parole violation, or that allegation, also he contends is absurd. The state's argument is that he failed to report to the authorities. His argument is essentially, well, I was in Germany for treatment after a nearly fatal poisoning carried out by the Russian state with a weapons-grade nerve agent. He also says that, which certainly seems to be accurate, that the authorities knew very well where he was. But his appeal against this was rejected, as everybody expected, and Navalny was sent in the past few days from a Moscow jail to prison to serve the sentence. So far, I haven't checked in the past couple hours, but it had not been officially known where he was sent, where he was, because the authorities often don't tell relatives or lawyers of a convict where he is until, or where he's being imprisoned until sometime after the convict gets there. But reports certainly say it's Corrective Colony Number 2 in Pokrov in the Vladimir region east of Moscow. And while that has not been confirmed, as far as I know, at this point, several media outlets have published reports from former inmates there who say it was a very rough place in their experience. Irina, what do you make of this latest development?
Yes, Steve. Well, first of all, there are two things here. The fact that he was transferred to the prison, and we still don't know whether he was... whether he got there or not, is quite a usual practice for Russian penitentiary system. And this actually is a very difficult and dangerous situation for the person, this time when the person is being transported, because there is no connection with the lawyers. There is no way to report to relatives where the person is. Nobody says anything, and that might take quite a long time. The longest recently that we registered was the transportation of the Pussy Riot member, Nadezhda Talakonnikova. Mm-hmm. Which took almost a month. And during this month, nobody knew where she was, which conditions she was in before that. And that was in 2013. And before that, she had she went to hunger strike in prison for two times for abuse on the part of the head of the prison. So she was really in dangerous condition. Her health was not good. And nobody knew where she was. Kind of similar situation right now with Navalny, because we know that he is not physically as good as he was before poisoning. So, and what conditions he is right now in right now is really really dangerous. The second is, if the reports that he has been transported to Pokrov prison number two. It's also very, very dangerous situation, because we know from, as you mentioned, we know from former inmates in this prison that the prison is absolutely inhumane. The most vivid picture of this prison was given by the nationalist Dmitry Dyomushkin, who served 2.5 years there. And he was saying that he actually lost during that time. He lost half of his weight. From 120 kilograms to 60 kilograms. He described himself as really, you know, skin and bones with no flesh left after this prison. What he described to a media's own publication website is that this is the prison where you don't have a single moment of kind of being yourself. Mm-hmm. You either stand or sit or you run. And the prison is run, especially the unit of the strict regime, as they call it. It's run by the inmates who cooperate with the prison authorities. So the prison authorities do not really kind of participate in this, in creating this conditions that are close to torture. It's not torture itself. But the inmates actually force people to stand up every time when one of their group, and this group is about 20 inmates who cooperate with the prison authorities. Mm-hmm. So if one is entering the cell, the person has to stand. If one is entering the cell, the person cannot speak. The people who are there have to ask those special inmates if they can scratch their nose, as Demushkin said. Mm-hmm. So it's really very, very hard conditions psychologically, plus the physical conditions are very harsh, as Demushkin told MediaZone he was suffering from like very low temperatures there. Mm-hmm. It was plus 13. They didn't have blankets. Sometimes the inmates didn't allow them to keep their clothes on. So at night they had to sleep like in underwear and those tiny, tiny blankets that didn't provide any warmth from the harsh prison conditions. So it's really close to torture, if not torture, and it actually shows that authorities probably do not want to kill Navalny, but really want to torture him and to create the most miserable conditions possible for him in Russia.
Yeah, it's. I mean, there's pretty chilling accounts in MediaZona, which I believe was founded by members of Pussy Riot after, after they were in prison. So that media outlet has had accounts, as you say, from Demushkin and others. Other media outlets also have, and you know, the general thrust is that they kind of try to break you, essentially physically and psychologically. And of course, part of the, I mean, in a way, it's light to call it trolling, but you know, this whole idea, yes, it's within the law, presumably in Russia, but the idea that we don't really know where he is, and people close to him don't know where he is, for days, is part of the whole, seems to be part of the whole state campaign against him. All right, well, we will. Watch the developments as we can. Now, I'd like to talk about this other matter. Felix Dzerzhinsky, sorry about my pronunciation of that, and Alexander Nevsky, a little easier. The background of this is that a statue of Dzerzhinsky, the founder of Lenin's secret police in 1917, the Cheka, which had several names through the years and later became the Soviet KGB, was erected in the late 1950s on Lubyanka Square outside the KGB headquarters. And that statue was taken down at the urging of a crowd celebrating the failure of a hardline coup in August 1991. Now, that coup's collapse was a key factor in the collapse of the Soviet Union itself, which ceased to exist in December, 4 months later, December 1991. Now, in short, last month, Moscow authorities announced that there would be an online vote on whether to return Dzerzhinsky's statue, which is kind of still in a sort of outdoor museum with several statues in Moscow, whether to return that to Lubyanka Square, where the FSB headquarters also stands now, or to put up a statue of Alexander Nevsky, a 13th century prince who's a prominent figure in Russian history and is best known for his role in a victorious battle against a force that included Teutonic Knights, in other words, a force from the West. And that was in 1242, I believe. Now, this vote was supposed to be held from February 25th to March 5th, but Moscow Mayor Sergei Sobyanin abruptly called it off on Saturday night after just 2 days of voting. I think about 350,000 people had voted. Sobyanin said it had become too divisive and that statues should unite and not divide. Irina, what do you think happened? Why hold such a vote and then suddenly cancel it? Is it clear what's going on here?
Well, Steve, you know, Moscovites, and that was a vote again among Moscovites.
Right.
So, which I am one of, by the way, and I was there when the statue of Dzerzhinsky was put down. So I still vividly remember 1991 changes. So the Moscovites accept this as a circus. Because first of all, the whole idea was to return back Felix Dzerzhinsky, belongs to the writer by the name Zakhar Prilepin, a member of Just Russia Party, and several, as they call themselves, intellectuals, which I would never call such a name, those people. So it was a group of pretty outspoken, without any political views, people who wanted to shed light on themselves, you know, who wanted to get themselves into the public discourse, the public light to,
right.
You know, just to gain popularity. So then the whole discussion about whether it should be Dzerzhinsky or Alexander Nevsky turned into full charade because it, on one hand, it was a dispute between Stalinists and those who supported the Soviet regime against Russian Orthodox Church, for example, because Dzerzhinsky, of course, is the symbol of the repressions of the communist rule in the Soviet Union. On the other hand, Alexander Nevsky is a symbol of keeping Russia Orthodox Christian state. I'm saying this not only because he is considered by Russian Orthodox Church as a person who protected Russia from the Western expansion from Catholicism primarily at that time.
Right.
But on the other hand, he made a deal with the Tatar Mongols, with the Golden Horde. And Golden Horde at that time was pretty tolerant to different religions, including Russian Orthodox religions. So that's why he is considered to be like a supporter of the Russian Orthodox Church, to the extent that in 2016 he was given a role of the guardian of the Russian army, which is strange by it is, but it is what it is. So then there was a dispute between those who consider themselves patriots and those who do not care whose statue there would be. Because patriots would say that, well, you know, Dzerzhinsky was a Polish national, so why do you want to bring a Polish national to the main square, one of the main squares in Moscow? So it was really, really a very weird discussion that probably at this point, I think, was just really unnecessary, but it... and got its aim to distract from Navalny, to distract from the Nemtsov anniversary,
right.
Murder anniversary. So, and I think that one of the reasons why Moscow Mayor Sergei Sobyanin announced on at night on the 26th that the vote would stop. Is because authorities realized that the day of memory of Nemtsov on the 27th will be orderly. There will be no demonstrations. Everything was canceled because of COVID measures and because of the quarantine situation. So people just quietly went to the Nemtsov Bridge, to the bridge where he was killed in Moscow, and put flowers. And so the threat of the, you know, another public protest was over.
Right.
But at the end of all this, you know, the Moscovites are now joking that they are pretty much accustomed to the fact that authorities put their votes to trash every time they vote for somebody or something. So this time, the votes were literally put in trash.
Right. I mean, people voted, and the vote was then scrapped in the middle of the vote. So, yes,
exactly.
It's kind of a metaphor for the elections. So I guess kind of bottom line is that one of the main aims of this, you know, seemed to be to take attention away, distract people's attention, both with the Navalny being sent to prison and with commemorations of Kremlin opponent Boris Nemtsov's killing on February 27, 2015. In the past, there have been some quite large marches and protests over that. But I guess the and as you say, they seem to the authorities seem to have decided that, okay, it's not that big a threat. Maybe this vote is, you know, more trouble than it's worth. One thing I would say also is that I think for many liberals in Russia and maybe people who also in the center, just the idea itself that Dzerzhinsky's statue could be returned to Lubyanka Square, just kind of a sign of the times, really. I mean, that toppling of that statue was a big, it was a very big symbol of the failure of the hardline coup and then the collapse of the Soviet Union. So to have it back, and I think about when the vote was called off, I think it was 55% to 45% in favor of the more kind of neutral figure of Alexander Nevsky. I think the very fact that there was serious consideration to returning Dzerzhinsky's statue is quite disturbing to many. And I guess we'll leave it at that. I'm running out of time. Irina, thanks very much for joining me. We'll have to wrap it up for today.
My pleasure, Steve. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I'll be back next Monday for another edition of The Week Ahead in Russia. Thanks for listening.